I'm joined this morning by Dr. Alfred Oladapo. Good morning to you, Dr. Alfred.
Good morning, Jared.
How are you doing?
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. So we're diving straight into our conversations this morning. We're starting out this morning with bullying. Now, last week on Friday, we had a conversation, and over the past 72 hours, there's been a lot of stories coming out from social media, and I'm sure you've obviously heard that one of the schools that is, as we're now, become the epicenter of this conversation, Dowon College, has been shut down indefinitely by the Lagos state government. Now, it's getting into different ramifications. Investigations are obviously ongoing. We cannot dwell too much on that. But what we are focusing on is bullying this morning. Dr. Alfred is here with us, and we're going to go straight into the question. Has bullying been normalized by the Nigerian society?
Absolutely, Jude. Absolutely. There is no facet of this nation where you don't find bullying. The government bullies the people. Police bully poor people. Bullying, by the way, it's a concept that comes from over-exercising of power, dominance, wanting to beat someone into line, put them in compliance with what you think in your own perspective as what is right, maybe in the society or in the community.
But isn't that what governments, isn't that what schools, for a lot of us, have ingratiated in us? That look, when you're out of line, you have to be brought back in. As an erring student or a pupil, you know, you're a child, you probably don't know exactly what is wrong with you. When you have tantrums, we have to correct you to put you on the straight path.
That's the word, Jude, correct, not bully. That's the difference between correcting and bullying people. And I think that's where we just got it all wrong. That's where we got the warped mindset. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I had a discussion, you know, on this, you know, yesterday with, you know, someone was going on a radio station, you know, in the Southwest. And I said, bullying is a normal thing in Nigeria. It is not, when we express this kind of shock, not today. I said, it's been with us. It's been living with us.
The fact that it's been living with us, does that make it normal?
It doesn't make it normal, but we have normalized it, Jude. We have. We have legalized it.
We have legalized
it. We have legalized it. Let me break it down for you. Say, begin from government. There's a judgment in the court, maybe against the president or against the governor or against the local government chairman. He chooses if he's going to obey or not. That's bullying. A system has been set in place to say, this is what should happen. What's the job of the court, for example, is to ensure that there is justice. So they deliver a judgment, and then you say, well, I'm not going to do that. See, in this country, we already have a culture of impunity. And unfortunately, in every human organization, culture is intangible. It's just a way that people do things. You probably move from one office to another one, and you ask, you want to do something, they say, they don't do things like that here. And you ask, say, why? They say, I don't know. That's the way I meet it. Some things that you say is happening in the South here, in Port Harcourt, you know, with maybe the law enforcement agencies and things like that, they can happen in some parts of the country. And the reason is, people have decided, okay, to stand, and they say, this ain't going to happen here. But, you know, when you also come to another climb, where it's like, there's nothing we can do. We need God to come and help us. Continuously, that has been the mentality. For example, you know, when police, you know, brutalize people, we need God to help us. Now, leave that alone. Come to the roads. Don't we get bullied every day, Jude? You're driving in your car, and then someone is just coming, one kind of, you know, siren out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, we saw a few yesterday. By the way, we did see you, four SUVs, black, with a white 4Runner pickup, going down to Choba. We did see you, and some people actually spat and cursed your grandfather, just so you know.
Okay, so I wasn't there yesterday, but it's something that you see every day. Driving to the studio this morning, I saw it. Someone just comes and just believe that every other person, okay, they don't have no place to go. Get out of the road. And there's just one person sitting in the vehicle that has to bully everybody out of their own truck. That happens on the road, that happens in traffic. Taxi drivers bully people. So it's not, it's people just trying to exercise the kind of power that they think they have. And some of this bullying stuff is out of the frustration that people have. They want to ventilate it. Okay, someone is driving in a car that is probably not too good. Some of these taxis, you know, have no parking light, no turning signal, nothing. A and was trying to get in front. And I said, hey, brother, can you just wait? He said, you know, it's your own vehicle that is good. Bring it. And I was on my own lane. And he said, some of you riding this kind of good vehicle, we need to teach you a lesson. That's what he told me. So I told the guy that was driving, I said, just let him go. Just let him go. So we get, say, bully, when we talk about this, it's not a school thing. It's a societal thing. We talk about maybe, you know, like the incident that happened, you know, in that college. Bullying has been in our universities for how many years? When a lecturer will tell you, if you don't buy this handout, you're not going to pass this exam. Which same country does that? Which reasonable nation have you seen that is done? It's not possible. That is bullying. If I can't afford it, I can't afford it. What happens, Jude, if both of you are in this, you and I are in the same class, and you decide, okay, Alfred, we're friends. I'm going to buy, you know, chemistry 101, you know, handout. You buy the chemistry, you know, what you call 105, you know, handout. So we can share. Because we don't want to put too much body on our parents. So some people are going to school and they are barely surviving. Yet the lecturers who are supposed in a citadel of learning, citadel of excellence, the seat of intelligence. And sometimes, you know, we just throw caution to the board. And it's like, hey, I'm in position now. So someone just probably gets a little advantage, they want to exercise it. And so you ask your student and say, give me a list of those who bought, you know, my handout. Which reasonable university does that anywhere in the world? You tell me, Jude. There's no way I've been. And I've had a good share of traveling. I give glory to God for that. I can't take credit for it. But I haven't been in any institution, either in Europe, in North America, in Asia, in Australia. I haven't seen one where you can do that as a lecturer and you're not fired. It's not possible. The parents weaponize, we teach our children bullying.
Parents weaponize.
Parents do it. See, you're driving in traffic, you're supposed to drop your kids in school. You didn't leave home early. And then you start driving against traffic. And you are telling somebody who is driving on his right lane to get out, and your children are in the car. Your children are in the car watching you. These same children understand now that, okay, daddy has power over some people. They get to secondary school. What do you think they are going to do when they get to maybe class 2 or class 3? They say, I'm just beating my time. I have power over all my juniors. What do you find with teachers in school? So it's a multifaceted and hydra-headed monster.
Well, no, you say it's more, I agree it's multifaceted, and yes, like the famous or infamous Hydra, there are so many heads and angles to this. But let me cast your mind 35 plus years ago.
Good.
Right? And we didn't have it this bad. Right, and I've heard from my older cousins at that time, you know, they made mention that yes, you could have lecturers who were probably, you know, narcissistic, but nobody would have, as it were, held you down because you are dating a girl he likes or you haven't bought his books. At what point did this bullying, you know, pervade into that part of society?
Any organization, Jude, not just the Citadel of Learning, any organization where crime is being dressed as a beautiful, you know, as a beautiful bride, that society has lost it. When you have a situation where, in the example you give now, somebody probably did it in the school and got away with it. Don't you have lecturers, you know, who are supporting court boys? Mm-hmm. Haven't we have cases like that, you know, all over the place? Are there no stories like that? They are the ones that are behind somebody. Okay, get me that girl. I want to get that girl. She's not. Okay, you boys go after her. What do you think is going to happen, you know, eventually? When those who are supposed to set the pace for these students, because the most certificates awarded is they haven't been found worthy in character and learning. But really, really, Jude, in character and learning, kind of character are we talking about? And what kind of learning? Because going to school doesn't mean you've learned anything. You can go to school, but it is not a guarantee that you learn
anything.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I'm with Dr. Alfred Oladapo this morning. We're talking about bullying and the question of societal in nuance. How did our society get here? Is this a societal thing? As Dr. Alfred says, well, we have normalized it in this country. I'm not quite sure how it did happen, but at some point it happened. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the role of the parents weaponizing bullying and becoming the societal problem that it is. Like I said, this week we have three major issues that we're going to be tackling here on Nigeria Info. Almost every conversation, you probably get something in and around that vicinity. My name is Jude. This is The Morning Crossfire.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on The Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome once again. It's The Morning Crossfire. Now, these are our phone numbers because we're going to open the phone lines shortly. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and 0817-923-0009. Get onto WhatsApp and Telegram, 0809-030-6416. And if you didn't get those numbers again, please do not worry. During the course of the program, I'm going to reel them out once again. Facebook.com/Nigeria Info PH. That's where you find us on Facebook. My guest this morning is Dr. Alfred Oladapo, and we are talking about bullying. Now, Dr. Alfred has said that bullying has been normalized in this country. It's now a systemic issue here in Nigeria. Now, we're going to talk about how the parents have gotten to this point as well. My name is June. This is The Morning Crossfire. Good morning, Dr. Alfred.
Good morning, Jay.
So, how did parents get to this point where they are now, as it were, the harbingers of bullying in this country?
When parents fail to understand what their roles are, I'll tell you a quick story. Because, you know, bullying has been with us for a long time. When I was in primary school, in those days, you know, most of the schools were like mission schools. And so those who taught in my own school were also members of the church. Okay, so they're your teachers in Sunday school. They're also your teacher in class. And in those days, see, when you do something wrong, we didn't understand much about Christianity. I mean, I was just a child. But there's something that rings in your head. My parents must not hear.
Mm.
So when you are probably on the road and you're doing something nasty, they sent you somewhere. And I was guilty of one thing. I will stop by anywhere I see football. I'll be there playing. And that's when someone who knows my mom or my dad sees me and calls me my native name. And I look and I say, this is my mother's friend. I quickly know Dobale. I say, please don't tell my parents at home, please. Were my parents cruel? They were not. Were my parents evil? No, they were not. You see, there are certain values that family held so dearly that the name of this family will not be dragged into the mud with your stupidity and silly behavior in the society. That's what a lot of parents stood for. Backtrack to this day, I was in class. The teacher said, stop talking. I was still talking because the teacher happened to be my mother's friend. They were in the same women fellowship. So she warned me the first time. I didn't stop. Warned me a second time. I didn't stop. And then she turned the third time. And then, you know, she took the duster, brought me to the front. And then, you know, like, hit me on my head. I left the class. I went back home to go and meet my mom. During school hours, I went back home to go. I've told this story countless times in several fora. And when I got home, my dad was already out, and I told my mom. She said, why are you home this time? I said, because your friend beat me. My mom said, my friend beat you? What the hell? How can she do that? And this is just it. She got ready and, you know, changed her work clothes. And then, you know, she told me, let's go to school. And I was like bouncing as if today there's going to be war. I got to school. And then my mom started greeting my teacher in a friendly way. I expected her to get into the, you know, into the room and then, you know, let Third World War break out. You know, they greeted each other, exchanged pleasantries. And then my teacher said, what happened that you're here? She said, my mother said, and my mother is still alive. She's 96. And she said, I came because I'm not very happy with you. You know, at that point, I was very happy. I said, now the war is about to begin. And she said, well, he is your son. You discipline him, and he had the effrontery to come home, to come and report, and you allowed him to leave school to come home. I don't want to know what he did, but I'm standing here. Please give him 6 strokes of the cane.
Ah, alone.
I'm telling you, true story. I've told this news this several times. I'm from a very poor home, or I was from a very poor home. We don't wear pants to school. It's only your liquor. No, I'm honest. So as I went, I know you, in those days you had hefty people in school, hefty guys. You don't call them by name, you call them brother. You call them brother, you cannot call them by name. As I wanted to escape like this, they grabbed me. Pull one of the desk to the front of the class. Pull down my bonbon. My bonbon was facing heaven, shouting hallelujah. And I got 6 strokes of the cane. My mother was standing. As my mother said, no, 6 is not enough. Please give him another 6. And then the teacher said, he said, no, it's my child. I don't want him to grow up to be a vagabond. That changed my perspective to discipline.
Dr. Alfred, that may have worked for you. But today, you know, we have arguments as concerning corporal punishment and punitive measures and the like. Some would say, Dr. Alfred, that sounds like bullying. Why did they force you to come back?
I don't advocate corporal punishment. I don't all advocate punishment. I advocate correction. What my parents were trying to do in those days, it was acceptable in the society for you to strike a child, beat the child back to line. I bet you, your parents probably, you know, like used some cane on you when you were growing up. Okay. In this, a different generation kind of. But we must have our own scientific yet civil way of putting our children back in line. I'm just saying that if my parents allowed me, because see, you hear stories in school today that maybe a child did something wrong and the child, they didn't even beat the child. They just said, by the rules of our school, you violated this, so we will need to let you go maybe on 1 week suspension. And the parent comes and he slaps the teacher. There have been cases like that.
Yeah.
There have been cases whereby, you know, a student, you know, probably, you know, slapped the teacher. I heard about it years ago. And the teacher was giving query for provoking the student because the parents of that child were very influential. So when parents don't know where to probably like draw the line to say, look, this is school, this is home. And Jude, let me say it clearly, a lot of parents have become grossly irresponsible. And I'm choosing my words carefully, and I don't mean to be insulting.
In present-day Nigeria.
In present-day Nigeria. Most parents don't want their children at home. They just want to push them out. Just go to school. Go to boarding school. Have you ever asked yourself, Jude, why is that in America, they really don't promote boarding school system? You know, for primary school and for secondary school. I think they're stupid.
But the UK actually promotes a boarding school for even primary school students.
How long ago did that one start? I got a friend who's a professor, you know, on one of the campuses. You know, I mean, in fact, you know, she's the head of one of the campuses, you know, owned by, you know, African Union, which we work for. Hold on, Jude. She sent her child. They were based in South Africa. Sent the child, you know, with the husband. And said, okay, we send our son in primary school. Sent him to a school, maybe in Zimbabwe or so. Okay, boarding school. They felt maybe he's going to get international exposure and things like that. After 1 year, they almost lost their child. They brought the child back. Money was not the problem. They said this child, the first time he came home, they began to see certain behaviors and attitude. And they said, this is not going to happen. You ain't going back to that school. And they put him back into a day school in South Africa.
Where they can monitor him.
Why is it that in the most civilized countries, how many boarding schools do you have? Today, as soon as children are 10, parents are sending them out of the home. Just go to boarding school. We see our children as boarding. We don't see them as assets for into our future.
So that's where they probably get inculcated with the bullying.
That's why some of this, because they are very impressionable age. They can't make their own decisions. And you are sending them into foster parents who you cannot guarantee what their, you know, intellectual capacity is. You can go to school. You can get a degree. Like I told you, one of my professors always said, you get degrees by education. Okay, but you get education by degrees. But degrees are not education. So when parents, are just eager to just push the children out of the house, you push them into, look, unsafe grounds many times. How many of the schools are started by the proprietors because they have love for education? Most are probably started because it's an avenue to make money. It's a revenue generation place. There is a school in Nigeria that I know quite well. I can tell you that. That the owners of the school are in Canada. They are not working in Canada. But they have a school in Nigeria that gives them over $40 million to blow in Canada.
Hmm.
And yet, you know, people are taking their
children. $40 million.
Over $40 million. Jude.
Okay.
I work with a lot of schools.
All right. Let's get to the phone lines now. Let's get to hear from you. I want you to talk to Dr. Alfred this morning. Are you as a parent guilty of some of the things that Dr. Alfred has made mention in the promotion of bullying? And secondly, more importantly, how do we now start to unravel and now change the narrative bullying in this country? 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and 0817-923-0009. WhatsApp and Telegram 0809-030-6416, 0809-030-6416. 9.3, good morning, Crossfire. Good morning to you.
Hello, Papa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm here with that one.
Good morning.
Yeah, before I speak, something is very, very good. It makes me want to be here. And now, it has been shouted. It has been to see students telling their, they are telling their property. They bring the rapper into this thing, maybe a few more things. So then maybe this student makes me take me shouted, he did not do that. But because if you don't come to see, teacher will come to your house. Come and pick you up. So, you know, these are the five students down to your house. They cannot meet people come and look for you. What's the problem? You don't want to see. That's the start because that system is very, very intense. It was all these things. But now it's no longer there.
Mm.
Because of the standards and these people, thank you very much. God bless you. Come on,
everybody. Thank you very much, Dan. All right, okay. Now, this is a very interesting message, and I need to direct this to you. Good morning, Jude. Bullying is not localized in Nigeria. We agreed. We said that earlier on. But it's a universal vice. The USA is the world's greatest bully, and the police in America bully and manhandle the lower cadres of society, racism notwithstanding. Russia is a bully externally and internally, and opposition is not tolerated. China is bullying her neighbors. So what are you not talking about? Bullying is normal but disagreeable. Barry Johnson.
We have not argued that bullying is not universal. We haven't. But hold on, Jude. You know, since the Black Lives Matter, has bullying stopped? Haven't you heard that, you know, like the police, you know, actually, you know, did some funny things again to some black people, you know, somewhere, killed someone again?
Mm.
But you see, there is a system that takes care of you. That's where I'm going. There's a system that you know. You can't do this thing and get away with it. That's right.
So people can follow up and find out what can we do.
For us here, it's a culture of impunity. I can do it and get away with it. There's nothing anybody is going to do.
Mm.
That's what makes the difference.
Morning, Crossfire. Good morning. Hello. Benjamin 3, good morning. Morning, Crossfire.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome, please.
My name is Joseph.
Good morning, Joseph.
Okay. You know, talking about bullying, some parents actually hand over these bullies to the children. How do I mean? It is still the way for people who even talk to their colleagues or talk to their domestic staff in the service of their children.
Hmm.
You will think they are less human beings. And there is no way such a child will grow up and learn that and that. Some parents, they are not worthy of this. Sorry to say that. Then, the school themselves, the parents' priority of the institute was the money making from the school.
Hmm.
Over the welfare of the students. Are you getting it?
Yes.
Like your guest said, most of them don't get to make money, not because they are rejected. The welfare of the students.
Mm.
The cost is an assembly, India is the new cost, looking out for them, them and the collaborators with society, making that all government institutions. Today, not only the government should be, it's really of itself. So, the talk of this as a means of making money. And they forgot it. that it is not everybody that is ready to leave such because when it happens. There are some that will believe in an eye for an eye. Because if they rely on the Nigerian justice, justice will never come in here. So there are some people who will leave the out in danger. So the earlier we call this craziness all of us in this place because
I think a lot of people probably share sentiments with the last caller that, you know, a lot of people on social media have been talking, if anybody does this to my child, I would do this. Parents should get ready. People have been saying, look, parents, start to teach your children how to become responsible, because if your son touches my son, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
There is verbal bullying. There's psychological bullying.
Cyber bullying now.
There's cyber bullying. There's emotional bullying. There's financial bullying. There's no parameter that doesn't have its own perspective of bullying. Mm. There's nothing that is not subject to abuse. The real issue, and I love what the last caller said, and that's why I said, a lot of parents have weaponized it.
Mm.
See the way they talk to their house help. See the way they talk with their neighbors. Why should you put your car here? For God's sake, there are things you can talk in a very civil manner.
Mm.
But it's we just like to talk and we're so violent, we're so vociferous, you know. We just want to be heard. You know, shouting is not a parameter for intelligence. Having oratory skills is not a measure of emotional intelligence. Someone can talk and from the way they talk, you know that, look, this person, he's just completely out of line. But the thing is, like I said, we're going to get rid of this. We got to start applying appropriate sanctions and punishment. Mm. So you were having a discussion in Nigeria for some time ago about maybe one guy, you know, molesting, you know, a girl somewhere. I think that's probably some months ago. And, you know, they took it to the police. And then in no time, the mother started shouting that the same boy was seen in the neighborhood, even threatening the girl.
Sad.
Okay, and then the issue is the community supports bullying. Okay, don't worry, we're going to handle it. It's a family affair.
A family affair.
So when you don't have a system, okay, that takes care of people, the thing is, I'm not too sure there are things we face in this country that you won't find in other countries. I'm not too sure. At least by my own experience, by my exposure, by my traveling, by my interaction, I see crazy people driving in traffic in the US. That's true. But you know, you beat the traffic light, you're not going to get away with it. A $200 ticket, you know, is coming to you because they have appropriate data, which we don't have here. And sometimes I tell people, give police in this country, give them some credit. Because how they are able to fish out criminals in such a I'm just telling you, such a chaotic, what do you call it, you know, system. It still beats my own imagination. Go to some roads, you find house number one here. The next one to it is house number seven.
The organization is
so even in numbering of houses, we're so disorganized in our mental perspective. Someone parked, you know, around my house the other day, and very early in the morning, around 5, was honking. I eventually came out around 5:15 and I said, opened the gate and I saw this. I said, excuse me. He said, no, I'm trying to call the person that is in the other compound. I need to take the person to the park. So I said, excuse me, don't you have a phone? He said, the horn will disturb you. I better make you look like I go all these people. You know, we don't need people like you for this Nigeria now, not this, for this country. You see, we have such a dysfunctional system where the dysfunctionality has become the normality. So then how do you think that you're not going to... We are bullied. I just told someone bullied me in my house at 5 o'clock.
All right, the conversation is not over by the stretch of the imagination. Come the 11 o'clock hour today, we'll be taking another stab at it. We'll be looking at the angles that I am very sure is going to shock most of you. I have stories for all of us this morning from 11 o'clock. Dr. Alfred, thank you very much
thank
for
you very much,
joining us this morning.